get this rolling. All right, it's 1 o'clock and we call the meeting back to order. Dennis, we are ready for you.
All right, planning zoning has got a couple things coming up, and I wanted to set in here today and just ask the public too if anybody showed up. Had a typo in one of my letters that I sent out for neighbor notices and advertised today's date instead of the May 1st meeting.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to be here and make sure
they didn't show up.
That's right.
Okay.
If anybody had showed up for the cell tower expansion out at Barger. Okay.
Good to know.
Good to know. This is an issue that's going to come up at May 1st meeting.
Okay.
We'll have that for you. We're going to have a full presentation at the planning and zoning meeting later this week.
Okay.
For everybody. And what is going on out there is Union has asked for an building permit for an additional 20-foot extension onto the tower for co-location of another carrier, which this all comes about and falls in under federal statutes. This 47 CFR 1401 Wireless Communications Act. Basically, between it and every, we are, go down through the second one, review of an application, state or local government may not deny and shall approve any eligible facility request modifications and eligible support structure that does not substantially change the physical dimensions of the tower or the structure.
Okay.
Go back up to that. A substantial change is if it increases the height of the tower by more than 10% or by the height of additional antenna array separation from da-da-da-da-da, which does not exceed 20 feet, whichever is greater. This was all understood before the initial building permit was allowed for that tower, and that's why the initial permit went from 65 feet down to 45 feet, because they knew in the future
they could go back to 65 feet.
They could go back 65 feet. And there's nothing
they're pretty smart, aren't they?
Really do about it.
Yeah.
You know, the staff and everything at that time was able to hold that back, so that's what we accomplished.
Wow.
But what this does accomplish is we have one tower in the area and not two on the skyline or more, you know. So
yeah.
I think that's a good.
So basically, they can go from 45 to 65, and there's nothing that the county can say about it.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's easy then.
Yeah, it is. But we wanted to discuss this with the county attorney and stuff. We wanted to advertise it, send out the notices and everything, just so that I didn't issue a building permit and then have 30 neighbors come in and scream at me.
Right.
So wanted to have at least some informational time with everybody, and Union wanted to do the same thing.
And that's what you're planning on doing May 1st?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll have that back, and then the 17th, Thursday.
Oh, okay.
I'll have for full presentation Thursday.
Okay.
Other than that, we've got some other stuff coming up for you next month, but
we're excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Good. Is that it?
That is it for me.
Wow.
Make sure that.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
So who would be the two providers, Union, and who's the other one?
Union and T-Mobile.
T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Are they a cellular carrier?
They
like
are.
Union and Verizon?
Yeah. And they're working on expanding into the area.
T-Mobile's coming to town, huh?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
So,
is this the same tower before we were commissioners that filled the road?
Okay. Yes. And that is also why they're going to put a big presentation together.
Okay.
So. But if that does come back up, we will have that on Thursday night and followed by the May 1st meeting.
And you will re-advertise that meeting?
It is advertised. The neighbor notices is the only thing that I messed up on, so.
Okay, excellent.
Is there anything else the commission has for me, or?
I don't think we do.
All righty.
Thanks, Dennis.
Good.
Thanks.
See
you next time.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you for your brevity. Appreciate it. That's okay. We're in no hurry.
We're doing good.
Yep. We're ahead of schedule.
Wait with patience until otherwise.
There you go.
All right. Thanks again.
Well, yeah, go ahead, man. What do you have for us?
So, Mr. Chairman, last week I think we all received this information from the Economic Analysis Division.
Yes.
This is the stuff with the cost of living index on it.
Right.
So, just so you have a little bit of information about Southwest Wyoming, the last time that we had a positive cost of living was the fourth quarter of 2015.
Okay.
And that was 1.1%. The prior two quarters from that were below 1. One was at 0.9, minus 0.9. One was at minus 0.1.1. We went up to 1.1 in 15. Then we dropped again for two quarters. The first part of 2017, the first half,
okay,
was 1.1
increase.
And, well, that's what the number was.
Oh, okay.
Because it had been down a half,
so it went
up.
Okay.
Actually, went up 1.6.
Okay, and then it put us at 1.1.
Yeah, put us at 1.1 at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And then the last quarter, which ended in December, is at 2.9.
It's
2.9.
Okay.
So the last time we were at that number was 2013, so 5 years ago. So our cost of living has stayed pretty level, dropped.
Yeah, it's gone up, but it's gone back down, and now we're back up to where we were in 2013.
That's right.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate that. That's good information to keep in mind come budget season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're back up to where we were in 2013. And 2013, can you find out if we gave pay increases, cost of living pay increases?
Last time you gave increases, let's see. This is would have been in July of 2014.
Okay. Okay.
And Barry, that is for the county, not for the state.
Right.
So.
Southwest Wyoming.
Yeah. Southwest Wyoming. This table, and you guys received this table, but
yeah,
it breaks it down into four quadrants. similar areas with similar activity. So the other thing that's interesting to know, of course, is the most expensive county to live in is Teton, but we're number two. So
yeah,
they're at 157, we're at 109. But it breaks down over different categories of things like food, housing, apparel, those kinds of things, talks about housing.
Who's the next one under us?
Oh, you would ask us. That.
It's below 100, though.
Maybe Campbell.
Hmm.
Park.
Laramie.
Oh, okay.
Laramie County.
And what is theirs? 99?
They are 103.
Okay.
109 down to 103.
So you can't be on that show. You didn't have it memorized.
No. Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
And then everyone else is below 100.
Has that memorized?
And the lowest is 90.
Library.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
90. Weston and Niobrara and Goshen and Platte, those guys. And then the guys up in the Bighorn Basin, Bighorn, Washakie, and Hot Springs are in the 90s also.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you for that information, Mary. And if you'll just keep that information handy for when we do go to budget. Thank you. All right, very good. Mr. Sherbel, come on up. We're ahead of schedule, but I didn't figure you'd mind.
Well, only I got scolded last time that we were...
What's that?
I got scolded severely the last time we were ahead of schedule.
The last time we started early?
Started early, because someone arrived right at the assigned time and missed everything. So it's your meeting and your call.
We can wait. That's no big deal.
I mean, I don't have a problem. We got 5 minutes.
I would prefer not to be scolded again if someone shows up late.
Okay. We'll hang out.
If there's any particular questions that you have from the healthcare board, why, you can certainly answer those.
Probably better not start.
Get the whole shebang going.
Until you're ready.
Yeah.
Any chance we get to start early, we do.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
If I hadn't, if my ears weren't still burning
from the last one,
yeah. I'd appreciate the early start. So.
You'd have been fine blaming it on me.
Oh, I did. But
good. Figured as much. You know. Yeah, did you tell them it wasn't your meeting to run?
Actually, it was one I was late to also. So.
Oh, okay.
But I still got chewed out. So.
Okay.
No.
We'll just wait for a minute.
I have no idea who is or isn't planning to attend. If I knew who specific group, I would.
Better safe than sorry.
Whether they were here or not.
Sure.
You had a good day so far? Nice and easy, I take it?
Not really, but never is. I don't know that I've ever experienced one of those easy days.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that we're going to move forward with the LaBarge thing until we contact the people in Acton.
Okay.
And I'll talk to Butch, because we're going to go by and see Bob on the way home.
Oh, okay.
And so we'll wait until we talk to this group.
I think that's probably a good call. Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
There's
someone wondering. That's what I was getting at. So you're the professional photographer for that thing?
Yeah, it's like, but they have one tomorrow, and it's supposed to snow and blow. And then they have one Friday. The middle school over here on Saturday might not be too bad. Still not going to be great, but.
It's easy to tell when they're running.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I'm new at this whole thing. It's been fun, though. Are your kids doing track?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As Brooke did swimming, and she's like, she hated it. she'd rather ride the bus home with these kids.
She switched chairs.
I can't see the screen on that side. We're planning on zoning.
still not working?
Well, I'm on Wild Blue. I'm wasting my time. I'll wait till I get home. Use my laptop.
Do it when you get home.
I can't reply to an email or anything.
Electronics.
You gotta love them.
Man, I'd like to know the day.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
I gotta get this in and out.
Wow. Is it the same with your phone? Does your phone?
Yeah, my phone or this. Neither one.
Man.
Kelly, my old works fine. Hello?
It's your personal?
It's my personal.
That's ironic, isn't it?
And I can't forward it from my county to my, or from my personal to my county here. I gotta go home and do it on the other computer.
For heaven's sakes.
It's just nuts.
I got 1 minute.
Do you? That's fine.
I'm going off of this here. So.
I got a minute here too. So.
Okay. One more minute, then we're both off the hook.
Yes.
Well, my clock says 1:15.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I'll go ahead and start. We're in receipt of your letter from last Friday. And the first question asking if we'll deed the property for the clinics to the Rural Health Care District. And we are disinclined to deed the property for free. Second question was, are you willing to sell? And I think we've been willing all along, and I think I'm absolutely would love to. If you can come up with a fair offer for those for the properties, we would certainly entertain it. Absolutely. So basically, the next step would be for us to find out what those properties are worth. And so we can take it upon ourselves, if it's all right with you gentlemen, to get an appraisal of the clinic properties and from someone that's knowledgeable about medical type properties. And then we'll have some information. We'll certainly share that with you also, and then you folks can sure come with an offer to purchase those. Okay. All right. Good.
It's real simple.
Yeah. So I think we just move forward from here, right?
Okay.
So we'll put the wheels into motion, and we will find a an appraiser that has some experience in medical type properties. And when we have that information, we'll share it with you.
And what kind of a time frame would you expect?
Well,
on that?
We're going to try and get it done as fast as we can. Basically, we're unfortunately, we move at the speed of government, and no decisions are ever made other than every 2 weeks. But we have a decision made today if my fellow commissioners are in accordance with that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead.
I move we appraise the property where the Pinedale Medical Clinic is with the idea of following up with a discussion with USDA and healthcare district about where to go for the next steps, and we need that as a basic information, and we want to do it as soon as possible.
Okay.
Second.
The motion is to get an appraisal for the Pinedale properties up there only?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And there's a second on the table. It's been moved and seconded that we get the properties for the Pinedale Clinic and the property around. Just hold on just a second, I'll get to you. Has been moved and seconded. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say we look forward to moving forward in this direction to try to sell to the district the properties that they have requested, and just would reinforce what Commissioner Bousman made in his motion, that we will intend to move forward as expeditiously as possible so that we can facilitate this process moving forward.
Okay, excellent. Commissioner Rawhauser.
And if there's anyone that knows of anybody that has an expertise to do this
share that information,
we would appreciate that.
You
to
bet.
Move this forward quickly.
You bet. Excellent. Further in further discussion, I just have one other thing. We have people housed at that old clinic up there, so that may or may not be a logical thing for that to go with the sale. We'd have to find a place for those people to live before we even discussed that. But that will be part of the appraisal also. We'll make sure that is part of the appraisal.
And that the appraisal breaks that down.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll need the appraisal to include it and exclude it.
Okay. Okay. There was a third question.
Okay, hold on. We haven't voted
Excuse
yet.
Me.
Yeah,
right.
That's all right. So there's a motion on the table. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. And as to the third question that was there, I think we need to get the first part taken care of first. First things first. Let's see if we can move forward with that.
What was the third question?
Okay, go ahead.
The third question that Ms. Werner and Lorraine Werner of USDA ask us to ask is if the district were to, and if the district were to, as it comes to the completion of construction and operation of the hospital, if the district were to find that its funds were short, that it could not continue providing the current level of health care in the two clinics, that would the county be willing to subsidize that short-term interval between completion of construction and increase of income through the operation of the hospital? I'm not sure if that's coming clear. It's a hard question to answer. But none of our, in asking that question, again, this is a question that Ms. Werner felt needed to be asked. In our financial studies, there's nothing to indicate that that would be necessary. From a district standpoint, we don't feel that's a necessary step, that we are going to need that money, but Ms. Werner felt she needed to research that and wanted to know that that would be a, that there was some fallback if the, her concern on the financial studies has been that some of the assumptions are too high. That they're looking for, that the assumptions looked a little too optimistic in terms of services and how quickly those services would come into being. Again, we've looked at, and our financial people have looked at that, and they've assured us that they've been very conservative on those estimates, not grabbing the high numbers, but looking at a reasonable lower number of services, and so we haven't felt that that's going to be the case, but again, this is a these are all questions that she asked us to further explore and as part of her looking into the project and
sure.
being comfortable with it.
I'll go ahead and read that question verbatim. It says, will the county provide emergency funding if it is needed to keep both of the existing clinics operated at their current level during the construction and initial operation of the hospital, should the available revenue sources of the district become insufficient? So once again, I think let's get this other part taken care of, and we'll cross bridges as we need to, and we'll get the appraisal going, and we'll get that information to you as soon as we get it. And if you have any idea of a person that can help in that appraisal, let us know.
There,
we'll search.
I will check on it. We had an appraisal done, of course, for this facility as part of the study for the part of our application with the USDA.
Okay. Of which facility? Of that?
Of our proposed facility.
Oh, of your proposed facility.
Yeah,
okay. And if there's somebody there that can help us out with that, let us know.
He was somebody represented as one of the best in the United States, of course, from our financial team, and I can get his name to you and see if he's in Arizona, I think, but came up here. In fact, he came up here and looked at the clinics. He looked at both clinics.
So he's been here.
Yeah, he's been here, okay. Visited both clinics, had tours of them. He might have
Be a logical option.
Yeah, and he might have the information that he could pull that together very quickly without having to I don't think he'd have to revisit. He took pictures and everything. So.
Yeah, if you'll just relay that information to Mary, okay. That'd be great.
Okay. We'll do that.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Hope your rest of your day continues well.
Oh, me too. Thank you. Very good. Well, Representative Summers, come on up. We are just a fuzz. We're 7 minutes ahead of schedule. I hope you don't have a problem with that.
No.
Good.
I won't take very long, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
That's the perfect way
Which
one do you want?
I don't know.
Say the perfect way.
I don't know.
You're just getting just as gnarly looking as I am. I don't know. I'm
trying to be incognito.
Yeah. So, he's
getting better looking every day. I'm thinking maybe I'll
absolutely. Keep it growing. Keep it growing. Yeah.
Keep getting up and comb it over.
It won't work. I've tried some of that. You can't comb away from it. It just keeps falling.
Do we need to get the sheriff's office in here?
Not yet.
We're going to be okay. Oh, he is here. Oh, excellent. The sheriff's here. Good. Good. All right. Keep your sidearm.
So, Mr. Chairman, I just kind of wanted to stop in after the session and mostly see, you know, what you guys thought. I thought the session went pretty good. You know, we passed the 105, so local government got funded kind of as they have been getting funded. I thought the passage of the endow bills, I think, is positive for local government for the most part. I think probably the biggest controversy between towns and counties was House Bill 14, which was the extraterritorial jurisdiction bill. I thought it came out probably a pretty good compromise. I don't know what you all thought. That's what I've told the towns. I'm not sure how it'll all work in practice because it involves comprehensive plans and that sort of thing. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how that actually shakes out in the end and whether it'll make comprehensive planning a bigger deal, more important.
Well, I think as a whole, the commissioners were happy with the outcome of that. There's a few gives and takes, and we all need to do that in order to make things move forward. But I think as a whole, for the county commissioners of the state, everybody was decently pleased with that.
Everybody, it seemed to only affect a couple of communities. Everybody else is working very well with their county planner and with their city planner and to solve problems.
Right.
But this, or the rings of death, are they called? These were just in a few communities where they were struggling.
Yes.
And so hopefully this solved the problem.
Yeah, hopefully it won't make it more complicated and worse, but time will tell on that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, I think the 105, I think over time, I think this is the word I hear in the legislature is, there's going to be probably an attempt over time to give you guys authority to generate that 105 and not so much the state generate that 105. That's, this year the 105, I think, came out of the LISRA, not the general fund. But it's become kind of an ongoing cost of the general fund. So the question is should it be an ongoing cost of the general fund, like an agency fund or funding, or should there be some revenue source or opportunity given to the locals to either generate that on their own, or the legislature makes the decision and cuts that back. But I know that discussion will be continuing. It's not something, and you've heard that rumor, I'm sure. So whether it'll transpire or not, what it'll look like, but if you guys have thoughts, I would appreciate them on how to move forward on that.
No matter which way they go moving forward, it's important that especially the new legislators understand the local government is a subsidiary of state government. Everything we do is provided for by the legislature.
You are
statute.
An agency of state government.
That is the way statute was set up.
Yep, you are.
And a lot of new legislatures don't understand that.
Yeah.
they look at us as some competition with the state government, and we're not. We're part of it.
We're an extension.
Yeah,
that's right.
The challenge, you know, in if you move a revenue source, if you earmark right into that, is how do you maintain that formula, the crazy formula, where, you know, the anti-Sublette County formula. You know, but it seems very important in the rest of the state. You know, how do you maintain that if you, you know, it's been talked, well, what if you repeal the exemption on sales tax on food, you know, and you give that back to the counties? Well, you still have the same problem. Niobrara is going to, you know, the sales tax that they generate off food is going to be zero, and they need money because they don't have any money.
Yeah.
You know, and so you run into that same question of how do you solve that. So I just think the counties need to be thinking about that and thinking of ways to make that, you know, help solve that problem, I think, long term. And then, I mean, that's kind of what I had to bring to you guys. Just that's the major updates that I can think of. I think on your part, I think long term is that election equipment. Yep. I think it's on the radar, right, of the Appropriations Committee. So I think we know that it exists, and there's a question on how to do it. But I think a good solid proposal from you all, you know, from clerks would maybe help that.
So what we've got, what happened during the session is there's $150,000 for 2 years, so $1 million total over the biennium to be used for aging equipment. But we all, they also, they being Congress, through the omnibus appropriations bill, funded HAVA, which HAVA hasn't been funded since 2004.
Okay.
They funded at $380 million for money to go to states for security and aging equipment and a number of other issues that relate to elections. So there'll be some money that there, and we will get a little over $3 million out of that. Of course, the money's distributed based on per capita.
Right.
And we're little guys. So, but anyway, so, you know, we've got a little over $4 million bucks in the pot right now, and our task force is going to continue to look at that and figure out how to go. But election equipment's significantly cheaper than it was when we bought it back in 2005. And did the whole statewide, you know, contract and that type of thing. So, and our maintenance fees are cheaper also.
Right.
So it's, you know, and I think the counties also realize that they're going to have to probably put a little skin in the game. We're going to have to participate at some, to some degree, but I think that that we should be able to roll out new election equipment by 2020 statewide. Anyway, because we do have, and we didn't really realize it until we got to look, and we've got a couple of counties that are running on 20-year-old equipment.
Oh.
And we're worried about 10-year-old equipment and its technology and whether we're going to have support for that equipment and obsolescence and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, but at least we got started, and that money magically kind of appeared. So
yeah, the federal money.
Well, the federal money way magically appeared.
Yeah.
The state money was kind of like, oh.
Yeah. Well, you guys had set the stage, right? I mean, you've had those conversations, and I guess that's the point I'd bring across, is
right.
You need to keep thinking about what you
right.
want, what you need, and you keep need to bring it forward so the right people know. And that helps,
yeah, it helps
grease the wheels.
The members on our committee were well picked.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Judge. Yeah. That's important. And I guess other than that, it just would be questions if you all had any.
So what's on the radar for interim committees? Any idea?
You know, I haven't looked at the big list in appropriations. You know, we still have prison issues that we're going to deal with. And one of our, I guess, our priority topic is there a way to simplify the budget process?
Hmm.
You know, that's been getting more and more talk in the legislature, is nobody understands all the dips and whips and flips and tips and and where all the strings go, and so I think we're going to take some time at that.
Okay.
This week, I guess Thursday, they'll start debating the interim topics, and then that'll kind of line out.
Okay.
As far as corporations, I haven't followed it, so Mary probably has a better idea than me what's going on in corporations.
Yeah, there's probably 5 or 6 items, and I think the first item is the insurance thing, which was last time as well. I know elections is number 3, so when that's all of the election stuff, there's another item about electronic recording, electronic storage of documents and those kinds of things. That's all I kind of paid attention to, but there's a number of items that are on there. So
nothing, I think the biggest thing will be we still have a structural deficit in the state.
Right.
We have a good rainy day account, and we have good income off our permanent investments, which helps reboot that. You know, we maybe have a 12 to 15 year drawdown the way we're going on the rainy day fund, but that still has to be addressed over time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that's why there's the discussion of the 105, is how do you dig that out? You know, is there a revenue source we can bring online that the public's willing to handle? And so I think those discussions will keep happening, is how do we generate more revenue, either by growth, you know, in the state of Wyoming, or or do we make more cuts? And mm-hmm. we found out, I think, this last go-around, there was a lot of cuts made, and when we came to build this budget, you know, it took, I think, the Appropriations Committee brought back $50 million to the Department of Health, and the floor of the legislature brought in another $10 million. Mm-hmm. So that means that the people out there feel that there's, you know, that there was a shortage of services in that area, and so how do you cover that? That's a lot of money. Coming back $60 million, it's a lot of money. Well, that's about all I got. I guess the broadband stuff, Tom can keep you up to speed on.
I think so. If they have any questions, though, for Albert,
yeah,
not really.
Yeah. And then I guess. Just on a different note, but the Upper Green thing, you guys are, you know, that'll be, part of that'll be coming to a resolution, I think, towards the end of the month.
Yeah, I don't know, Mike's here, I don't know if he's heard anything, but we're still waiting for a decision on the protest part of it.
I kind of poked the governor's office, I might have poked a little too hard, but that's all right.
We kind of been poking a little bit too.
Yeah, so I don't mind getting in trouble.
So if there's feel alone.
Yeah.
one thing along those lines of dealing with federal agencies, I guess you're probably aware of this effort with Department of Interior, the reorganization thing they're proposing, and part of what they claim is behind that is they want to bring the decision-making process closer to the ground, and they want to enhance the role of local and state government to play a more in-depth role in their decision-making process. From the county perspective, and probably the state as well for the most part, that means, probably what that means is how do you make the cooperating agency status play a bigger role, mm-hmm. like serving on the ID team, for example, which we have done in the Forest Service, but not in BLM. Another way of enhancing that role is require better coordination with local plans, and then, of course, that leads to, well, if you're going to do that, then you have to have a local plan to coordinate with. And it's kind of interesting. I did not realize this, but a couple of years ago, the state of Utah, the Utah legislature, by statute requires every county in Utah to have they call it a resource management plan, same language as terminology as BLM, for the federal lands in the counties. And then they gave the counties, I forget how many million dollars they appropriated, to so much per county to develop those plans. Now every county in Utah has a plan, and they were professionally structured. The state made sure of that.
Right.
And in Utah, they're looking at that as playing a positive role in federal decision making. And I just bring that up because it's kind of food for thought we've had with the combined House and Senate Eli's committee.
The Natural Resources
Committee. Yeah, that interim committee. That might be something for a future discussion. If we get a little further down the road with this reorganization plan, we have the Wyoming Natural the Natural Resource Coalition, of which the county is a part of that, WCCA. We're having a meeting coming up soon with Interior. People are coming out from Washington to meet with us, and they're looking at the region Wyoming's in, and I'm not even sure what region it is number-wise. They're looking at this region as being a pilot project to make this reorganization work, and of course the ones of us that are active in that, we're looking at it as an opportunity that if they're going to do this, then let's do it in a way that actually achieves what they say their objectives are, to enhance the role of local and state government. So I think it's something worth being involved in.
Well, and I think I would guess that the legislature would be favorable if you guys had a pretty good plan about, you know, to have some money to do these, to create these plans. I would bet it's a no-brainer.
Well, it would seem like
resources.
It. I think as we get closer to it, especially after we have some discussion with Interior, if they see that that's, you know, a way to really make this work, then we'll also be having some discussion with what might be some federal funding sources, like LWCF is the one I keep thinking of.
Yeah.
If we're going to, for example, require all counties to have an economic baseline that would be part of the NEPA process. Right now, the federal agencies have to do all that economic analysis, which is never adequate. It doesn't do what it's designed to do.
Right.
But if counties had that, it would be beneficial for more than just the federal planning process. But if we could get some money earmarked, I've been promoting designating just a little bit of LWCF that could be used as a grant program to help, not fund it completely, but to help offset the cost of it, which might conceivably could go along with either FNRPA money through the FNRPA account to help increase that account, to help offset that cost, or, you know, there's different ways of doing that. But I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 6 months or a year it might be an entirely a good topic for discussion with the Natural Resource Committee.
Mm. Yeah, I think it'd be, I think in general the legislature would be favorable to something like that. So.
Yeah.
And then Doc, I guess I'm on that opioid task force, so any input you want to give me on that as we go forward.
That would be good. I understand Senator Baldwin's on that as well. Yeah, I'll be glad to pursue that with you. And then I think we're still in somewhat of a limbo with the preventative services with the Department of Health. We had that conversation yesterday with them, and I think there's still some things to be ironed out. They, of course, got the footnote from the budget for the $8 million and then had to restructure their budget, and I think they took $1 million out of the technical assistance program, which is to go for training. But I think the big thing is they've got to, one of the bigger things, they've got to look at how they're going to distribute the funds. You know, they're going to do it equitable, they're going to do it on population rates of problems with suicide or alcohol abuse or whatever. They said they thought they would have that by this week, but I don't know. So we're still moving on that.
Yeah, just let me know if you guys run into a snag so I can either jump on them or sick Eric on him.
Yeah, Eric was on he got in late on a conversation yesterday, but he was there, and so was Representative Larson.
Okay.
So I think we're moving along, we're just not there.
Okay. Well, let me know how that goes.
And then let me know on the opioid thing. I'd be glad to have future conversations.
Anything else, gentlemen? All right, Representative Summers, thanks for visiting us.
Thanks for coming in.
All right, gentlemen, it looks like we're a little ahead of schedule, and we're going to adjourn. Oh. So I thought you're doing the wave. You're starting the wave, Maxine?
I just want to share my thoughts about Loretta Warner's visit last week of the USDA lady.
Okay.
One of the kind of the first things she said was, if we're going to get money, everybody has to have skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks that only Pinedale has skin in the game.
Okay.
And that not only do we have to have skin in the game, but people have to work together, cooperatively. And Representative Summers has volunteered to help that happen.
Yeah, and I've told the commissioners and the Rural Health Care District that if you guys want my assistance in mediating anything, I'm more than willing to sit down at the table and help that happen. So.
Appreciate the offer. Thank you.
And it seems to me we're really at a point where, you know, Sublet Center and the commissioners and the district and everybody have to work together.
Mm-hmm. I think we made a good step today.
I do too.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay.
I just want to put that in your thinking.
Thank you, Maxine. Appreciate it. All right, gentlemen, anything further? Motion?
Can I say one other thing?
Oh, okay.
Which has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Please don't hire those Blue Sky people to do the assessment.
No, don't hire what?
Blue Room Architect.
That took the pictures of the hallways and sent it to you for $30,000?
I think we know better now. I hope.
Just the public for us.
Mike, you got something for us?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you bet. You better be quick, man.
Excuse me, sir. No, would you just introduce yourself?
Yeah.
You're not the same person I saw a couple days ago.
I know. The razor finally caught me down and got
me. Matt,
right.
You're my hero.
I know.
Who needs to borrow your razor?
Many of you know we did the Emergency Watershed Protection Program for a project on the Green last year, and there was one on Frosty Steels that was last fall that showed up, but there was a spawning stipulation for brown trout that kept us from getting in the river to repair 40 foot of stream bank. And so we're back at it now. DC has found some money to help for that project, and I just have a form that I need the chairman
just
to sign.
Need signed.
Yep. So it's the same form we did for the Crandall Ditch. I've got the letter from Mr. Gaffney. That
have we addressed this yet before, or do we need
correct
make?
No, it's okay. Under the same preface of last summer. It's just
gotcha.
It's still an emergency.
It's still an emergency. Okay. So we'd better adopt this again by motion once again, rather than just going off of last year's. Okay.
Oh boy, how many pieces of paper did I hand you?
There's one.
Yeah, that was mine. Sorry.
That one's
it's
yours.
These two.
These two. Okay. Yep. Very good.
That was what I had to sign.
Yeah.
this form is real property assurance. It's on Frosty's ground. We've already checked that with the county attorney's office. Matt signed a letter for that. So this basically goes back to that eminent domain issue that you guys said you wouldn't enforce anyways, but because it's on at this point it's a form because it's on Frosty's grounds, it's not on somebody else's. So.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the NRCS form referred to as assurances relating to real property acquisition.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded that we approve the form assurances relating to real property acquisition. God, that sounds terrible, doesn't it?
I got to sign it.
I know. Yeah, it just sounds terrible. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right, and then I wasn't here the last time, but I do appreciate your guys' action on the loan and for the remodel and so on. So I couldn't be here in person, but I do appreciate that.
You betcha. I was happy to do it.
What are you grinning about?
It was pretty
tough. Once it's passed by the board, everybody's on board. Right?
It's called team concept.
Team concept. Playing as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You bet.
All righty. That was all I had. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Yep.
Did I miss anybody else, or can we adjourn now? All right. Motion to adjourn. Oh, I don't know.
I got a question for Mike before we adjourn.
Okay.
Sorry.
Do you know any more about the timeline on the project?
The project?
With NRCS and their decision and all that stuff.
In regards to the building?
Yeah.
So the guy in Oregon that submitted all that information to said 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks ago. So
anytime.
Any day.
Any day. I was going to give him probably a month before I call him up again. I don't want to, you know, be too much of a squeaky wheel. Right. So, yeah, I would assume any day. I'm going to give another week or so, and then I'm going to send him an email. Because, right now we're literally, we got two sets of floor plans.
Yep.
I've worked with Todd, we drafted an RFP.
Yeah. You kind of need to know the answer to that.
So yeah, we need to go which, if we're going left or if we're going right. Yeah, and right. So right now that's kind of where we're sitting.
Perfect. So. All right.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Thanks, Mike. Anything further, gentlemen?
Nope, we're ready.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We're out of here.
Wow, it's kind of early, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
We expected yours to go quite a bit longer, Albert.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So much.
You bet.
Such a good start.
Well, that doesn't
it has a special place. It has
a
friend. And it has a friend. There's two of them.
Good. We wouldn't want it to be lonesome.
No. Friday.
Mr. Chairman,
so do you have any?
No. So we're going to that meeting Friday, Mike and I, on the allotment reallocation process.
Don't know what you're talking about.
So like the retired allotments.
Yeah. Ford Reserve, Arabelle's, Tolman.
Oh, okay. There's a Forest Service having a meeting to discuss that?
Steve Kilpatrick's having it at the Forest Office.
Oh.
He's involved in the governor's office.
Hi, neighbor.
Mike's coming.
Been busy.
So it's coming through the governor's office?
Yeah, McGagnon.
Okay.
Well, it's, I don't know who's...
Those projects.
Steve Kilpatrick forward the SPNAWs now.
Whichever one do you want.
Yeah, I guess he's been back and forth.
Yeah, then he was in wildlife federation. Now he's SPNAW.
How many did you submit?
Okay.
This year
you're going to Cheyenne for that?
No, it's going to be...
But that was from
supervisor's office.
Green River and Jackson.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I need to come see what our
he wants to have a discussion on what's going to happen with these allotments. So...
It's 50% of the total project up to
35,000.
So one thing
I need to come by and figure all that out.
Yeah,
we're
going to
be following up on
some other funding, or you can go to
when they do the next force plan, which is supposed to be soon. Is to change the language.
I thought it was
these allotments that had weather concerns.
The share was way less.
That caused us.
Well, I can't remember what
the Forest Service to turn us down on reallocating any of those sheep and livestock cows.
Well, I'll come by.
Because the way the language is in the forest plan,
yeah.
If a wilderness allotment becomes vacant,
that's not the wilderness
act. That's a goddamn forest plan.
Yeah,
it's requiring that.
Yeah,
well, you
got a May 1 deadline.
We were either asleep, I mean, back in the Niffy Hamilton days, that's when that
happened. Anything else exciting?
Right.
Nobody even knew it was there.
Yeah.
The only way we found out was when this come up and we asked to reassess it.
We got a meeting Friday.
There's been some amendments to the forest plan that I don't think that any of us have ever seen.
Oh, back in those days, the counties, conservation districts, nobody was engaged in any of that stuff.
I appreciate
that. No, and they never got
it. They just did it. They never notified the public.
Paper or something.
Nobody even knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They just did it.
Yeah. So if you have any thoughts on all that, let us know.
Well, I guess my main thought is if the forage seems like it's, if you're talking conversion from sheep to cattle, they have to do an assessment to see if it's adequate for cattle.
Yeah, and so Chad or Jill Randall came to us last winter, and that stuff of McGagnas, and I can't remember the other people, but up and down the Wyoming range, the forest committed in that buyout, or some in not in the buyout, in the plan to use them as a forage reserve, to monitor them every 5 years to keep track of where they are. Well, they're not going to be able to meet that obligation, and so Jill came to us and said, if we can find some money, would you guys have the manpower to do it? And I said, well, okay, let me go check. And we could. There was 8 sites, so we figured we could do it this summer. So they got 8,000 from wild sheep. They're supposed to get hopefully another 8 from big game license. And then we just in the last week, in a, like an 18-hour period, we wrote an RHAP application for some leftover funds that would have got reverted to the back to the auditor's office or whatever, because they wasn't enough time left to throw an RFP out there, and the Board of Ag last Tuesday awarded us $15,000, because what that was just monitoring some upland sites, and it wouldn't give them all the information for a conversion, because it wouldn't include any riparian or any of that stuff. So this gave us that opportunity to make it a whole, so the forest can't dance around, we don't have enough data, or we don't have the right data. So we got that money for those allotments. What we need to do is we need to work on, I know on the Pinedale District, Tomans is a priority of Gary's, and so is the stuff up there around Silver Creek. There's some other stuff in, some other vacant stuff, but those are the two that rank out on Gary's priority list. And then whatever happens with some other stuff up there, Badger, one of those, Badger or Twin or something, one of those is going to get turned back because of non-twin. So, you know, some of those are also in there, and we might make another run at it. But the sad part is, and I'm going to bring it up at the meeting, and it's not going to sit well, but the forest couldn't even commit to a guy to help monitor those 8 sites, not even a technician. They couldn't throw any money at the district to help or nothing. We went and got all outside funding to do this whole ball of wax.
It's because they don't want to do it.
Well, but I'm going to basically look at Trish and say, you know, you cannot find $500 bill laying around to help buy some fuel or help pay for somebody to go up there and monitor what you guys said you would do.
Ask her to assign Cog to field work.
No, I just didn't do it with the crew I got.
Do you think we can get the governor's office to put some pressure on in those kind of cases?
We can see what comes of this meeting. I think the governor's, I know Department of Ag's going to.
Jessica's on the email list.
Yeah. But I'm, you know, I. She's checked this whole green upper green thing. She's checked out. You can't get her to make it.
She's busy looking for a job.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I know, but I mean, so I don't know how much help we're gonna get unless.
I kind of the letter I got from, I sent my little, I sent a nice email. I said it would be, and I sent your email, which you had nothing in it, but Cody's below said. We've been trying to engage Jessica. It would be nice if the governor, you know, blah, 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 if the governor would engage. So I sent that all to Carrie Jo, and I said, It'd be nice if the governor would engage on the Upper Green right now, and I've told Jessica this, and if he could get a hold of Tricia now and, you know, just nudge her a little bit, it might help.
Yeah. Just a phone call might
help. Yeah, and I think they did it.
They did, because...
I think they did it, but it was because I...
Tricia committed, as far as Jessica told me, she did commit to a cooperating agency meeting, but she'd already done that, so...
She did that before she heard anything from the governor's office.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I tried to get Jessica and the governor's office to be a part of the objection process, and they wouldn't do it.
They kept saying they thought it was going to get worked out. It's basically their response.
Because she's too lazy to do the work. That's my opinion.
I don't know what it is, but I've been a little disappointed that...
Gary Jo, in her little letter, she was like, Jessica this, Jessica that. She sent me a typed letter, Gary Jo did, with a, you know, her signature. No email back, no call. You know, and at the end it said, you know, the governor's, you know, interested in appropriate wildlife management and livestock grazing, you know, sustainable livestock.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking, why do you put that in the letter?
Why do I need a job?
We've never had an issue with appropriate wildlife management in the Upper Green ever. So who are you writing that to?
Well, but then you'd have to deal with, if I trade the job.
Why would she send that to you?
Yeah. Sit in front of the five of us.
Don't make sense.
Instead of me sitting in front of the five of us.
Oh, she thought I was going to give it to somebody else. I don't know either, but I told her to call me.
I probably missed it.
Good.
Am I going to say a good discussion?
No, it was... No.
I mean a good discussion.
It was a good discussion, yeah. And it was a good decision. And so we'll see what happens. We'll go from here. We'll go from here and see what... You want to borrow my razor? No, I don't think so. You know, what I've been waiting for is my wife to say, okay, tell me what the deal is. She's not said a word.
That must be because you've been a good husband or something.
Well, I don't know what it is, or she just wants to stay away from me. And
thank you, ma'am.
I don't know.
You are just welcome.
That came up yesterday at about 4 o'clock, and I was chasing a brush fire.
What I was excited about,
so I didn't give you a warning.
That's fine.
Can you believe that crap? We chased two fires yesterday.
And
then it's snowing.
I know. There was a
It was a good thing. It's a good thing there was that much green in the grass.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have had a runaway for sure.
Yeah, that fencing outfit needs a...
So she.
That fencing.